This is Steve Goodrich, known on the trail as Bird Shooter, and this is N2 Backpacking, a podcast for both hikers and backpackers. Hello and welcome to episode number 6 in the N2 Backpacking Podcast series. This is Bird Shooter, and tonight on the show we have two friends of mine from college and backpackers in their early years. Kirk, a.k.a. Soul Glow, and John, also known as Hawkeye. This is the Isle of Palms interview, so you might notice some crickets chirping in the background as we did this interview outside. But we had a chance to talk about their early 90s introduction to backpacking, and my reintroduction, having taken the college years off. Starting with some conversation about the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, which is of course the most visited national park in America, and has some of the highest elevations east of the Mississippi, including the highest point on the AT at Clingman's Dome, around 6,600 feet. From there, we move on to the Linville Gorge Wilderness, located in northwestern North Carolina. Many of the trails there drop 2,000 feet from the ridgeline to the Linville River, and there's some very scenic campsites located down there around 1,300 feet. And finally, we wrap up discussing the Mount Rogers National Recreation Area, which is part of the Jefferson National Forest in southwestern Virginia. We talk about hiking to Mount Rogers at 5,729 feet, the Wild Ponies in Grayson Highland State Park, and the expansive views in the area that have you feeling more like you're in Montana than Virginia. That said, let me introduce you to Kirk and John.
Thanks for being with us at the Isle of Palms interview this evening.
Should you be using our real names?
Thanks for... Well, we're embarrassed we don't have nicknames as classy.
Well, I think I've got you on the website as Soul Glow.
Oh, well, that's just fine.
For your love of hair care products.
Yes. Right.
And I had you as Hawkeye, being a doctor, and you know I'm thinking MASH unit, and you always carried a first aid kit.
I did always have a gigantic first aid kit,
yeah.
Among other gigantic things. We won't mention those right now.
I was always confident that if I got a massive tear in my leg, you'd stitch me up on the spot.
Or at least put him under.
Exactly.
Anesthetize you so you didn't care anymore.
That's all right. So basically, tell me this, because I don't recall. Did you guys venture into backpacking for the first time in the early 90s?
Yes, I did.
Did you backpack before?
As far as Kirk knows, yes.
I think I bought a pair of boots and rented a backpack and sort of figured it out from there.
You're actually mentioned in the John Zed interview as being an inspiration to his backpacking, so it's the gift that keeps on giving.
You must have given him a couple of headbands.
That just shows my gift for colorful embellishment of my skills.
He gave him the red and white headband to wear together.
Yeah. I got one of the blue ones, I think.
I wore a lot of headbands.
A kerchief.
I downed a lot of donuts.
Yeah, that's the day.
So I guess to the point of the question is the early 90s was when I got back into backpacking and kind of took off the college years to do a little bit of car camping, but not much backpacking. And with you guys, actually went on some trips in the Smokies, Mount Rogers, Linville Gorge. I know, John, you've got a good story for us, Linville Gorge. We'll get to here in a few.
Mm-hmm.
But to kind of replay the tapes, Kirk, I'll start with you because you were the guy that actually kind of kicked off my re-entry into backpacking with Jimmy Slate, a.k.a. Slaw Dog, I think, as we knew him on the trail. But that was, if you recall, actually, October 10, 1992, you and Slate and I did a trip to the Smokies. We started at Newfound Gap. We hiked to Peck's Corner, a grueling 10-mile hike that day on the Appalachian Trail. And I don't know, you and Slate were better prepared. You guys had newer equipment than I had. I had some old stuff from, like, the early 80s, like 1983, and my equipment was nowhere, as nearly as up-to-date as yours. We did a 21.6-mile round-trip hike, actually. And I don't know if you remember that first
day. One night? We spent one night that night?
We went into Peck's Corner, and then we came back and stayed at Icewater Springs, and then came out.
Yes.
But if you remember the Icewater Springs night, we had some guys from Ohio, and they had some Jiffy Pop, if I remember. Do you remember the Jiffy Pop experience?
Vaguely. Were we in one of those bear shelters with the chain link fence?
Yes. We were, actually. Those shelters don't exist anymore. They've since pretty much renovated all of them.
I'm dating myself.
Them.
Yeah. I'm dating myself.
I'm guessing Jimmy Slate probably had the espresso machine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was that the night of the mice, or was that another hike I was thinking about?
I think that was the that was a different one that we can get into. I don't know if we had too many mice that time, but that was the trip that we went to Charlie's Bunyan, and I think we'd hiked 8 miles that day. We were exhausted, and we busted out some pudding right around Charlie's. Like, the best pudding I think I've ever tasted, man. And it was cold, man. The day before had been hot and really, like, you know, we were sweating like crazy, but this day it got cold. It was really breezy. We were hiding behind Charlie's Bunyan, like, you know, eating pudding and freaking best pudding ever. And then we got in the shelter that night and ran into those two guys. But, you know, this trail is essentially running about 5,000 to 6,200 feet up on the ridges. And I'd done a section of this before with you and Slate. It actually came later when he had his girlfriend. I think she was from San Francisco at the time. And I'll take that back. That was a different trip, but... another experience that I had was just before this with Jimmy, which was in August of 92, and Liz's car had broken down, and we had to have it towed, and Tammy's car had a couple tires slashed, and so this was the second trip that I had done that year, getting back into the sport. But anyway, so I kind of got a case of backpacking fever, and then you and I had gone out with Slate again in October of 92. But... So, what I guess in the trips we've done, what sticks out in your mind the most? And I'll play back some notes I have from some of the hikes we've done.
I can remember now that I know that those old bear shelters are no longer on the trail. I can remember the first night, and I thought it was that night you were referring to, but I remember the first night that I spent in one of those, and we had a great time, and it was a great hike, and it was a relatively long day, time and mileage-wise, I'm sure, although I didn't keep track the way you apparently do. But we got there, and you know, everything died down. We closed the chain link fence, and I remember being a little concerned about bear activity, but that was quickly overcome by mice activity. Because as I lay there and began to try to drift off to sleep the sound of the wilderness, I had this scurrying sound going by my head across the wood on the sort of bunks, the two-tier bunks that were in those old...
It was mating
shelters.
Season, probably.
And it was definitely mating season.
Yeah.
And I spent the better part of an hour trying to get to sleep, and I felt like such a wimp with such small rodents scaring me that much. But I had my backpack, my mummy backpack, I mean my sleeping bag, I should say, pulled up around my nose because I was terrified one of those things was going to get in my sleeping bag and give me rabies or something like that.
Every season is mating season for mice. On the trail. And God, I've had that mice experience a million times. I think, so the time you're talking about, Kirk, I believe was November 14th, 92. You, Hicks, Slate,
yeah,
and I had gone with Liz and Tammy and done a Kephart hike where we basically started Newfound and dropped down to the Kephart shelter and then came out Kephart Prong. But I believe it was that night that I was laying in my bag and I had a mouse on my head and I didn't realize it. I was moving my head and I could feel it panicking and scurrying around.
Do you remember inside your bag or just on your head?
It was just on my head. I had a fleece hat on, but it was pretty fearless. And the elevations of that hike, you know, roughly start around 5,000 feet and drop down to 3,000, so it's a little easier than the hike we'd done in October of 92 that year.
So they tore all those shelters down there? They don't exist anymore.
Well, they basically have rebuilt them. They use the original structure, and they're nice now, actually. They're open in the front. They've got, like, a big breezeway that comes out. They've got, like, a huge picnic table kind of set up.
Can mice still get in there?
Oh, God, yeah.
Mice actually make their nest out of...
Those mice are fearless, and that was actually the Dude Bear moment. You want to tell our listeners about?
I barely remember the Dude Bear moment. I think that we thought there was a bear because I seemed to have a bear obsession, which I think at the time because that's all I knew was possible danger of being on the hike. I wasn't worried about...
Could have been, you know, a chupacabra.
You know, crazy people with, you know, not enough teeth walking around with 357 magnums, you know, running from the law.
Yeah, right.
So I should have been more fearful of them than I would have been of bears at the time.
Or chupacabra.
Any of the above. But I remember we were concerned there'd be a bear out there, and someone, it might have been you, bear shooter.
It was. Just
bear, and it turned out to be a raccoon.
It was a raccoon. Very beady little eyes that, you know.
Oh, because we were spotlighting it with those little petzel lights.
It was halfway up the tree, so it looked like it was a lot bigger than it was.
I felt like one of those kids from what was that, 16 Candles, where they had those little microphones where they were talking to each other when they had those petzel lights on. We were spotlighting animals out there.
Yeah, we were in the shelter that night, and it was cold. I don't know if you remember, man. We spent a long time collecting firewood. We got down there fairly early and enough time to get some wood, and we made ourselves proud. But yeah, I saw some beady little eyes out there, and we'd had the fear of God put in us about bears from the ranger, and you know, unfounded. I've been in the Smokies a million times and never seen a bear, but you know, they're certainly there, and you certainly want to use your precautions carefully.
How many chupacabra have you seen?
Not sure I even know what that is, actually. So Grimes, that actually gets us to when we went out with you, and it was you, Kirk, myself, and Slate, and this was a trip we did in the Linville River. We actually went in the Pinch Inn Trail, which is it's about a 1.5-mile hike in, and it drops about 2,000 feet. You remember how hard it is hiking in Linville Gorge? How well do you guys remember that?
Oh, I remember that.
I remember purifying water. That's the only thing I can remember. You had that accordion-style water jug, and I don't think we had the pellets. We had that little pump thing that took the first 100 years to get it to work.
And more calories to actually, yeah.
Right.
So there's two things I got to put back in your heads, right? So Slate and I had worked a full day, and somehow you guys had gotten off early. Kirk, I think you were living over in Raleigh at the time.
I wasn't working very much at that time. I was working very little. I can say that now because my boss of 20 years ago is probably long since retired or dead, so I don't really care.
You weren't exactly missing it.
No.
And they weren't missing you so much.
So
what I was doing, somehow we jetted out.
So yeah. Slate and I came in late. We came in as little like vintage late 70s, early 80s Honda. Man, we're going up there.
We were not sure you had actually Honda Accord. Make it.
Right.
Yeah, we were kind of worried you weren't actually going to make it.
It was a taupe or putty color, I remember.
Dude, that thing was rattling like the Sanford and Son mobile, man.
I don't know what we drove in. Was it just you and me?
Yeah, we probably drove my Maxima.
I don't know.
Maxima.
So I think the plan was you guys were going to go down to the gorge, and you were going to set up camp.
Those Japanese make good trail cars.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
You guys were going to set up camp down on the river, and we were going to come down and meet you.
Oh, I do remember this, yes.
And this is, I think, one of the finer Kirk Grimes moments in the backcountry, as I recall, right?
Yeah, we got there before the sun went down. I mean, I don't know. It was probably like 5 or... something. It was spring, right? It wasn't actually that. The trail was still pretty overgrown.
Yeah, you're right. It was spring
foliage.
So it was, you know, we were probably early hikers, and we started. Kirk and I were going to go down, set up camp, and then meet you guys down there. And that was back in the old, early cell phone era. You had a cell phone.
I had a car phone.
Yeah. Car phone. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't really a cell phone.
A little curly hue corkscrew antenna thing.
It was probably the size of your right arm.
So the last time we managed to make contact with you guys or leave a message, that was the plan. It was, we were going to go down there, set up camp, and wait for you. And so we start hiking down, and it's like straight down. It's like climbing down hand over, you know, hand into the gorge. And we start getting down and closer and closer, and then the sun starts to go down. So now it's getting dark, and we can't really see where we're going. We don't really know where we're going. But we start to get worried that we're not going to be able to find you guys. So, you know, I figure, well, we'll just kind of keep going down. The river's going to be at the bottom, and we'll find it, and there's campsites, and then we'll hook up with you guys later. Well, we get about, I don't know, we're almost all the way down, and Kirk, you've decided that there's no effing way we're going down anymore because we're going to get lost. And so you're like, I'm not going any farther. And I'm like, come on, man, we can make it. We can make it. And you're like, no freaking way. We're not going any farther. And I'm like, oh, I can make it. I can hear the river. And you're just like, dude, we got to.
I remember we kept listening for the river. That was the big part.
And so literally, we're probably like 20 feet away from the river. And we turn around and go all the way back up to the top. Hand over hand, and I'm like pissed as can. I'm just like, God, blank. we're almost there.
Well, I remember Slate and I rolling to the campsite. It's probably about 9 o'clock, and it is. It's April 93, so I don't think the times have changed yet. This is back before they changed the whole daylight savings thing.
Did that, yeah.
Yeah, and so we roll in, and you guys have this massive campfire right in the parking area.
Well,
it's like,
we literally got there. We set up camp behind the bumper of our car about 10 minutes before you guys showed up.
Right.
So, yeah, we had a campfire and a tent, and then we all camped out.
I'm not coming off very well in the story, but that's okay.
Dude, you were on the verge of panic the whole time.
I think he was kind to you.
So far, for those of you who ever listen to this podcast, I'm scared of mice, and I'm terrified that I'm going the wrong way.
Get lost.
He's a regular outdoorsman.
Yeah, if our bonfire was big enough, they'd come and find us, but... Yeah, that was pretty good. And then I do remember purifying water with the old school.
That's all
water
I remember. I blocked all my cowardice out.
About 1,000 calories.
You guys, if you the listeners, please check out the website. Look for the Pynchon Trail and Livable Gorge and check out these guys. This is, of course, the early 1990s. But, man, you guys were the preppiest looking backpackers I've ever seen. You got like a little bottle of Sutter Home.
John has the white turtleneck on and the horn-rimmed glasses and the Sutter Home.
Oh, my God. You guys look like
stylish. Do rag, as I recall.
You look like a cover shot for Backpacker, the yuppie version.
More like Fudge Packer.
Hey, you said it, not me. Anyway, so that's the Linville Gorge. That's the Linville Gorge trip. There's also some nice hikes down into the via the Bynum Bluff Trail and the Conley Cove Trail that you can see on the side as well. But this was the hike that we did in April of 93 with John and Kirk, which leads us to our next big venture out, gentlemen. This was Mount Rogers. Kirk, I don't know if you were on that trip, man. I think that was Hicks.
Hicks was there.
Hicks, Tammy, there. Liz.
I think I missed that one.
Did you miss that one?
I was actually working at the
day. He's back. Sweet.
That time, yeah.
That's one week in the year, actually.
That's all you do
now,
man.
Made you work.
You made up for it in spades lately.
Don't figure, they won't pay you if you don't do work. So.
Yeah, funny how that works.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So, and Grimes, just to play back the tapes for you and get your take on Mount Rogers, one of my most favorite areas to hike. I think, Kirk, you've been up there before, right?
I've been up to Mount Rogers, yes.
So, hey, I got to give you guys this because you know Slate. So this other friend of ours, Jimmy Slate, a.k.a. Slaw Dog, before I went with you, John.
Australia.
Yeah, I think he's in Australia now. Slate and I did our typical, you know, get off work at 5:30, drive the trailhead, get there at pitch dark, and decide to hike in. So we hiked in probably about a mile into a field where it was flat and set our tent up. Well, as you guys know, there's wildlife that roams there. And no one had told us that there were, well, I won't even get into this yet. All I can tell you is it's pitch black, and Jimmy and I keep hearing something massive, right? Something massive walking around. So, you know, how Jimmy, this is back when we first started backpacking, you're paranoid of bears because you haven't really realized.
After too many bottles of Sutter Home, espresso.
Exactly. So we keep hearing these big animals out there, man, all night. And we're like, you know, thinking there's some bear roaming around. Next morning, I think Jimmy had unzipped the tent just slightly to hear what was out there, to look and see what was out there. This big schnoz comes busting in the tent. It was a horse.
Yeah.
It was one of the wild ponies there.
I do remember that.
Yeah. So anyway, that was pretty cool. But so the hike we used to do a lot started at Massey's Gap. Yeah, really.
I would have wet my pants.
What did you think of the Mount Rogers area there?
It's great, man. It's flat and it's like mountain meadows with the rocks and... It's kind of an odd to be at that elevation. It's kind of an unusual mountain sort of area, I guess, with all the rocks.
Yeah, it looks like Montana. I mean, you know, it gets a ton of traffic. There's a lot of both backpackers, hikers, and horsemen that use the area these days. And you're looking at elevations somewhere around probably 4,900 to. I think Mount Rogers itself tops out around 5729, somewhere in that range in terms of feet. It is the highest point in Virginia. But you're right, man. With those elevations, you never know what you're going to get. I was there with Hicks one time in October.
We left Charlotte, 70 degrees. We get up there. We're 2 miles in. We get hit with a blizzard. Absolutely get pounded with like an inch and a half of snow. So you never know what you're going to get there for sure.
But it's not real steep, though. I just remember you sort of, it's all relatively gradual. You're up high, but you're always up high. There's not like a bunch of ups and downs.
Right.
The only time I remember going up to Mount Rogers, I hiked in shorts. It was in the, close to this. It was late spring. And it was one of those times that it got so cold at night, and I had just happened to have an old pair of long johns. It's the only thing I had that would cover my lower extremities. And there's a picture of me, literally, with the long johns on and a fleece on, and I'm standing there, and you can see me shivering, and I'm standing next to this pine tree that's literally encased in frost.
But you've got a bottle of Sutter Home in your bag.
Oh, exactly. Sutter made it all, which kept me warm.
Exactly. So the trip that I wasn't on with you guys, and I don't know how much you remember about that LeConte hike, but wasn't that freezing in the middle of the winter? When did you guys go up there? Was that in the fall?
That was, I think, spring. Was it spring or fall?
Early spring, I think.
It was the same thing, early spring. And Kirk had the like computer watch that would tell
the temperature and the altitude
and you know your direction and
G-Shock
and
temperature
date book or something, like everything you could think of. And we same kind of thing. We started off way down low. It was the Alum Cave Trail. So we start going up through, you know, the camera's hot, so you know we're all wearing shorts and t-shirts, and we get about, you know, we go through there. I think we ate lunch kind of in like that, in the cave, you know, right there. And then we start getting up on the mountain. And then when you go around that one part where you're holding on to the you know, the cable that's on the side of the mountain, because it's like a cliff, you fall off, you're dead. And it's all covered in ice by the time we got up there. And, of course, you're like reading off the temperature. I think you had an alarm or something.
Yeah,
so every time
a certain
5 degrees would go.
You had to have the stupidest thing about the watch is it couldn't be on your wrist in order to function properly because it was affected by the body temperature.
Because you wouldn't want to wear a watch.
So you had to like hook it onto your backpack so it would work correctly.
And it kept telling us how cold it was getting, and it started off really nice, and then it kept getting colder and colder and colder and colder. And so by the time we get up around there, there's ice on the trail. You know, we're kind of hanging on.
This may have been the trip I remember with that I didn't have anything but shorts. Maybe you're.
Mount
Rogers.
I think
I'm thinking of this hike.
We didn't. We didn't pack appropriately. We get up to the top, and like every time your watch would alarm, you would tell us, and it was graphing everything. Mm. I just remember that you're showing us the graph.
Yeah, take like a 15-minute interval and graph it on a bar graph, and you
with the altitude,
the downward sloping. You know,
and the higher we got, the colder it got, and by the time we got to the shelter.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, go figure. Yeah. So we get to the shelter, and it's that same stupid, you know, I don't know, horseshoe looking thing with the chain link fence on it. Mm. It was that same kind of deal. And with the fire, they had the fireplace at one side, and we got there late, and it was dark, and so we were, of course, the farthest away from the fireplace. And there was a bunch of guys from like Alabama.
They'd already gotten there.
They'd gotten there, and they're eating stuff out of cans
or whatever.
Spam.
It was like that, really.
Horrible.
Perfect,
you know, and you know, we had better gear, but they were closer to the fire, so it didn't freaking matter.
Yeah, we had those little 3-minute boil stoves that we invested in.
So, you know, they were cooking in the fire and warm and happy because they were right next to it, and we were like as far away, you know, as you can be. And yeah, there were mice running around there the whole time. But I remember going, you know, finally, you know, as the temperature's going, it's below freezing. And I remember going to sleep and remembering that my sleeping bag was only rated to 20 degrees. And so if it gets below 20 degrees, I'm wondering what the hell's going to happen.
He's a popsicle.
Right.
Mummified.
So that's all I'm thinking of is I'm going to sleep. Well, what happens if it gets below 20 degrees? Because you're telling me what the temperature is every, you know, 15 minutes as it's dropping below, you know, 20 degrees. And so, you know, I'm in everything I had on. I had everything on I could put on. And I'm in my sleeping bag. And the only thing sticking out was my eyes and nose. And I just remembered going to sleep you know, what happens if my eyes freeze, you know, as we're going to sleep? It gets below 20 degrees. And so, you know, I wake up the next morning and somehow I've gotten backwards in my bag. And so the hole is now behind my head and I can't see anything. So I wake up and open my eyes and I can't see anything.
Oh my God, I'm frozen to
death. I'm thinking, oh my God, I can't see. I'm blind. So I sit straight up. And of course, we're on the top, you know, the top row of this thing. So I sit straight up and hit my head on the thing and I'm waking everybody up now because I'm freaking out because I thought for sure I'm blind. And no, it just turns out I was in my bag upside down and somehow all turned around.
That's a tough hike up there. It's like a 4+ mile straight up hike. And I think when you're up on top, you're at least 5,000 feet. You're probably closer to 5,200, 5,300. So I'm not shocked it was cold as anything in April.
Oh, yeah.
But so now, is that the last time you guys have backpacked?
Together?
Yeah, well, I at all. Yeah, probably so. I don't... I think I went back.
Because then you got a real job and you had to start.
Well, yeah, I mean,
really
it was probably not long after that that I decided to go back to graduate school. And right before I did, as often as a spark to sort of impulsive activity, I broke up with this girl I've been dating for a while, and Jimmy Slate, and Slaw Dog, as you call him, and another couple of my closest friends, John Zed, and another friend of mine, took me out because I was really depressed from breaking up with this girl, and they took me out, and we went hiking somewhere in Upper Virginia, you know, closer to, you know, the northern part of the trail in Virginia, and I can't remember where.
Shenandoah area, probably somewhere up there, yeah.
And we went on a two-day hike out there with tents, which was really, really cool. I needed to get away, and it was good to be with people that I'd known for a long time. But that probably was, so that was probably 94. So it wasn't long after that 93 hike was the last time I've been hiking.
So I actually just thought of this, Kirk. It was 94, I was with you, and we had snow. We were at Mount Rogers, and it was right after that I went and did the through hike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and then you did it right, because you were through.
I still have all that stuff. I still have all the backpacking stuff. It's probably my mother's attic.
It was probably a year or two later you did the through hike.
I did it in that summer of 94, and I was with you.
Because I was doing my internship in Virginia when you came through.
Yeah, that's right.
I picked up you and like 10 people in my Honda Civic.
Dude, you guys were champs. You drove like 3 or 4 hours to come get us and haul us around, man. You and Hicks, like...
Didn't we find you twice? I got you in Roanoke and we got you somewhere else.
That's why I forgot. You were my trail savior, man. I called you in like 100 degree heat. You were getting ready to fly like to the Bahamas with Zop somewhere. And you were like, hold on, dude. I got a flight later, but I'll come get you.
Yeah, I think I do remember. I remember hooking up. You always had some random folks with you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course. That's kind of how you roll on the trail, man.
Exactly. And I took you to some hotel. Like, it was like a Holiday Inn or something.
You stayed in a hotel when you hiked the trail?
Oh, dude. You got to have a few of those. your tent gets pretty funky.
The hotel, and the best thing was, like, I can't remember. I remember taking you there. I don't think I took you back. But I picked you up and I took you to the hotel, and you guys, like I said, you spent like the next 2 days like swimming in the pool.
We didn't leave the pool. It was like almost 100 degrees and super humid. It was brittle. But the reason I brought that up is because you guys were the guys I got back into the sport with. I'd done it as a kid. I took college off basically to car camp and, you know, do what you do in college. But got back into the sport with you guys and continued on. And you slackers.
Yes, we have.
You slack guys.
We retired.
Man, can't believe it. Unbelievable.
Thanks.
Well, guys, I mean, any final thoughts here on the whole experience? Like memorable moments of your, if I had to say one defining moment of your backpacking lifestyle, what would it be that sticks out in your head that would jump to you as a parting thought or any parting advice? We'll take that as well.
Always have a bottle of Sutter Home with you in your pack.
Good advice.
Or yeah, definitely bring liquor.
Forget Gorf, just bring the Sutter Home.
That's probably not worth the wait, though. Yeah. If you're going to bring alcohol, bring liquor.
There you go. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate your time on the podcast. We tried to do this last night, but we pulled it off tonight.
Too many beers.
Happy to do it.
Good to have this for the archives. So, gentlemen, maybe I'll drag you out on the trail again sometime.
It's I still have my 1990s, you know.
I'll break out all the stuff. I'm, I, you know,
still got the Sutter Hall.
A little gas bottle. some fuel in it. So.
Well, thanks for being a part of the podcast.
Dude, anytime.
Thanks, Bird Shooter.
Thank you for listening to the Into Backpacking Podcast. This is your host, Bird Shooter, wishing you the best for your travels on the trail. To subscribe to this show, visit iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or your favorite podcast app, and give us a thumbs up or a positive comment while you're there. You can also download shows directly from intobackpacking.com. Just click the podcast tab on the main menu. Music for this show was provided by Jerris under a Creative Commons license and is titled Hillbilly Anarchy. This show is a production of Into Backpacking and is copyrighted by Into Ventures, Inc. For more information on this podcast or to provide feedback or comments on this or future shows, please visit us at intobackpacking.com. That's the letter N, the number 2, backpacking.com.